welcome to Hoop Collective podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we're doing on Sunday afternoon. Joining me from Chicago for the first time this regular season, our Chicago-based reporter, Jamal Collier. What's going on, Jamal?
Good, man. The vibes in around the Bulls are not so good right now, but I'm doing well. How you doing?
I'm good. You know, how about the vibes around the team? You know, you spend most of your time, you know, driving back on I-94 between Chicago and Milwaukee, and we're going to talk about the Bulls and Bucks today. But how about, as long as we're talking about the Central Division, how about the Indiana Pacers, who, as we talk here, are 9-6. They play the Magic on Monday in Indy. I mean, maybe the Magic will surprise them, but they're banged up. They, you know, they could go to 10-6 on Monday. You might have to start going south. What is that? What highway is that down to Indy?
94.
Past all the windmills.
I got a text, a similar text like that, after the Bulls dropped their losing streak to 4 in a row. You know, I've been bouncing around a little bit of Detroit this year. Was up in Minnesota. Said, hey, looks like you're neglecting. Got to add another one to your list here. That the Pacers all of a sudden are relevant. I haven't seen a whole lot of Ben Mathurin play. He didn't play well the game of Chicago, but you know, I'm a big fan of Halliburton, and I know that Mathurin, they're excited about what they've seen for him so far.
Well, all I'm saying is, Pacers, I see you. More to come on the Pacers. We're gonna get some Pacers discussion in there. So but anyway, do you want to talk about the Bulls? You used to cover the Bulls for the Chicago Tribune before you came to ESPN. You know the Bulls well, even though you covered the Bucks and they won the title, and you know, you and I spent a lot of time in Milwaukee last year at the playoffs. The Bulls are going into Monday's game against the Celtics, who are the hottest team in the NBA. I don't know what will happen in that game, but they're taking it on the chin. They just had a real bad loss to the Magic at home. Jalen Suggs with a huge shot down the stretch. That was their fourth straight loss. I believe they've lost, what, Jamal, 6 out of 7? Something like that? So they're 6-10. And the headline is that Zach LaVine was 1 of 14 in the Orlando game and got benched down the stretch. And by the way, he got benched, and then the Bulls took the lead, right?
Even before that, I mean, he came out with about 6 minutes to go in the third quarter and didn't get back on the floor into, I think there's probably about the 8 minute mark in the fourth quarter from third to the eighth. So, I mean, he pretty much sits virtually all the second half as Javonte Green comes off the bench and plays 18 straight minutes. I think he was a plus 20 basically in the swap there. So that's a pretty big difference right there.
So, yeah. So after the game, Zach LaVine says that Billy Donovan has to lay with that. Basically sleep on that one, coach. So anyway, that you were at practice today, I assume, with Zach, and Zach kind of walked it back, but also not really. How would you, before we get into this, let's just cover the Zach LaVine, Billy Donovan situation right off the bat here.
Yeah. I get both sides. I mean, Zach, this is easily the worst. I've probably been around him now for parts of, I guess, 3 or 4 seasons here. You kind of put the truncated ones in. It's the worst I've seen him play. And, you know, Zach is never going to wow you on the defensive end, but sort of a lot of just appeared to be missed rotations and missed assignments on that end. And then not only just missing shots and some, he missed a couple of layups that he usually converts, a couple of wide open three-pointers that jump shots that just shots that you see him make. And he also kind of just seemed to be taking that next shot to try to get himself back into rhythm. And the Bulls would start to make a run or look like they started to put something together. And then it kind of would just have a shot from Zach that is early in the shot clock or whatever. And I think I was surprised at the time to see him come out of the game and not come back into the game. But listen, I mean, it was the right move. If Nikola Vucevic, who's a 90% three-point shooter or free throw shooter, knocks down his two free throws at the end of that game, they probably, you know, they should win it.
Yes, let's not take away that. I mean, Vucevic misses the two free throws, and then Suggs throws in an incredible shot.
Yeah.
I don't want to make it sound like it was just Zach who was wearing the horns on that.
Yeah, but the, you know, it was just kind of one of those where it was an odd night. He doesn't play well, and, you know, Billy goes to bench him. And I think to Zach's point, which I do agree with, is you're right. He sort of walked it back today at practice, but not really. His point was, I've earned the chance to shoot myself out of it, or to play myself out of it when I'm having a bad game. And, you know, you've seen kind of from volume scorers and guys like with that mentality, they're saying the next one's going in, and then I'm going to pour 10 points in 2 minutes or whatever it is, and we can win a game that way. And I think to Donovan's point, again, the guys who were on the floor, who were defending, who were DeMar obviously sort of caught fire in the second half as well. You know, he was trying to win that game. And I think on one hand, so today at practice, everybody was sort of, while still standing on their same position, I think that both sides were happy to have a disagreement or sort of, this is a natural thing between coach and player that do have communicate, that talk to each other, that seem to have had a good relationship, I would say, before this. I know Billy's been out to LA to visit Zach a few times during the off season. You know, it's not necessarily this off season because Zach had the knee surgery and then had a kid, but in the last year when DeMar and those guys signed, Billy was one of the first guys out there in LA working with him. So I do buy that those guys have a good relationship, and I buy that there's good communication, that those guys would have a dialogue about it and not be afraid to sort of stand their ground. I was surprised that Billy did it. And I think it's the kind of move that you have to know that your star is going to react well to it. And those comments Friday night, you know, after the game from Zach, and there was definitely some frustration there, but it was certainly not the reaction you would have wanted for a guy who you kind of needs to help carry you through the rest of the way.
So he got benched a few years ago by Jim Boylan, right?
Yep.
In that game, he pulled him out in like the first half, didn't he?
Yeah, I think it was the first quarter. Okay. It was very, very early. Let's see how many.
And there was some of this same vibes at that time. And didn't he come out and like respond like in an incredible way after that?
So the next night, it was a back-to-back, actually. And it was the first half. He did make it past that. But he hits 13 threes. You know, yeah. The next night, 49 points against Charlotte, you know, just one of his sort of career best nights. And I think that, you know, that's Zach. You know, Zach is sort of a very competitive player. And he is, again, sort of the epitome of that scorer who just thinks that his next shot, his next basket, his next whatever is going to go in. And I think that he's never going to shy away from taking that next shot or wanting the ball the next time. So, you know, I think being challenged, you know, is a good thing for him. And especially, I think, just in the kind of game and really the kind of stretch that the team has been having. We saw it even before the game. I mean, Billy is kind of just trying to start pushing some buttons here to see how he can get really his main guys, Zach, DeMar, and Nikola Vucevic, to play better and to sort of work more cohesively, I think, together. And I think that he sort of really started hinting at it before the game, and really kind of the first time he's called those guys out, or at least sort of started to sort of lay some of the onus to pull this team out of their slow starts or out of the rut that they've been on, to put it on really his all-star shoulder. And I think, at least having your coach hold your star accountable in a game, I don't think on itself is a bad thing, as long as you know the guy is going to respond well. And I think that's kind of what I'll be watching here of these next stretch of games, is like, how does Zach respond? Because he's also, just based off his knee injury, been having kind of not this usual season that we see from him.
Yeah. So before I talk about the Bulls in general, which they're 6-10.
Yeah.
We talked before the season. We saw some markers about this team we were worried about. But Zach LaVine, he was 2 years ago, the truncated season, not the bubble season, the year after that, he was awesome. He had far and away his best year. He looked great. I spent a lot of time with him in Tokyo that summer, Vegas and Tokyo. I thought he was Team USA's third best player. Durant, Tatum, Zach, maybe not every night, but like he was really good. Like definitely taking a step up in his game. And then he has last year where he's killing, right? The first half of the year, makes the All-Star game for the first time. Second straight time. The year before was a big time. Makes the All-Star team again. And then the knee starts bothering him. The same knee he had the surgery on when he tore his ACL when he was, was he in Minnesota? He was in Minnesota when he first had that injury, I think. So, and he basically limped through the second half of the season. And the understanding that kind of was out there was like, the Bulls were going to take care of him on him when he became a free agent. They were not going to hold against him the way he played as long as he was going to be able to play through to try to help them. Because you remember, the Bulls were like first or second, like, you know, a year ago at this time, they were like in first or second place. They were tremendous. And like when he started slowing down, they still had aspirations of having a big time season last year. And they ended up limping into the playoffs with Zach, they faded down the stretch. He has the surgery to clean up the knee in the off season, which they build as just a scope, right, Jamal? Like no big deal, right? Which I always say there's no such thing as a minor knee surgery, but you know, look, it's not my knee. What do I know? And the Bulls very happily on July 1st or July 2nd, five years, $215 million. Full max contract form. And it was like, okay, well, like, wow, like biggest contract in Bulls history, like, man. And he comes into this season and it's like, actually, his knee's still bothering him. And now, what did Billy Donovan say about him just a couple days ago? Like, well, you can obviously see his explosion's not there.
But he admitted it even today at practice that, like, there's some, he's trying to get his lift back. At the rim, he's really trying to. I mean, there's just some missed layups and missed bunnies at the rim that, like, I mean, this guy was the best dunker in the league a few years ago. You do not see Zach LaVine missing those.
Oh my god! I mean, like, you know, slam dunk contest, electrifying. Post ACL. Yeah. And like, look, like I'm not. The guy had knee surgery. I mean, I'm not surprised he's going to be back, but like. The Bulls hand out that max and they were like, everything's A-okay. And Zach was like, everything's A-okay. And that just, you know, just sometimes teams are backed into the corner on things like, you know, Ben Simmons. The story on Ben Simmons is that he gets traded to Philly or to Brooklyn. Everything's fine with the physical. And when he ramped back up because he hadn't been playing, that's when he suffered the back injury that ended up needing surgery. Okay, I guess. That's their story. They're sticking to it. Like, okay. It's like, wow. You know, you traded for a guy who needed back surgery. Like what? And then, you know, like last year, Michael Porter Jr., I've talked about this. The guy could barely jump in the preseason. I watched him play and they hand him out a full max with no protection on the back. I mean, very light protection on the end of the contract. So it's not like the Bulls are alone in doing this. But like they now have a $215 million player who isn't looking the same. And we know that year five of that contract, you already know that year five, it might be past his prime. Okay. When you sign a 5-year, you know, a guy in his, you know, mid to late 20s to a 5-year contract, you know that, you know, you hope that that's not true, but you know that that fifth year when that money is way up there, you're like, wow, man, I don't know about that, but we'll worry about that at that time. You're still hoping to get his best basketball in the first few years here. So his reduction in production while also being a $215 million man. I mean, before the Bulls didn't even sign him. He got signed by the Kings. They matched the offer sheet and he was like sort of get back at the organization time. And frankly, the last couple of years, Zach LaVine was on one of the best contracts in the league, right? 2 years ago when he's averaging 27 points, he's making like, I think less than $20 million. And it's like, wow, what a great contract. So even though he's the same player, he now walks around with 215 over the top of his head. And, I think that is, it affects the way the Bulls fan base looks at him, I'm sure. And so, Billy just talked about it. Billy just said he's not been the same. And that's, you know, among other things the Bulls have going on, which we'll talk about here, is that's right up there, Jamal.
And I think that you kind of hit it on the point, is that this is supposed to be, you know, last year, and they got off to the great start, we're in first place so long, but these are supposed to be the good times, right? Like, you push in all your chips, not just on Zach, but sort of to build this team. You trade away a lot of your draft picks. You just kind of thought you're going to have a longer window here. And I think that with a lot of Bulls fans, and what kind of, I think, gives a lot of people in Chicago, at least, you know, the bad vibes and bad feelings about this team, is that it kind of feels like, do we already see the peak here? And, you know, again, we can kind of get into it for the other, you know, the rest of the team here, but they're not playing well. The Lonzo updates have been sort of few and far between, and not super encouraging.
We'll talk about that next. We'll talk about that next. Go ahead.
But really, I have some confidence that Zach, I mean, he's right around like 21 points a game, and shooting numbers are down across the board.
He's not playing great.
His shooting numbers are down across the board. He's taking a lot more jump shots. He's finishing at the rim. I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but he's not been very good at the rim. Places where he used to be automatic. And I think he's still figuring out how to play. You know, had a play on his knee, wasn't playing back-to-back. He's still figuring out a couple of different things coming off the surgery. But, you know, Brian, as you said, I remember asking a question on Media Day, just asking sort of, you know, innocuously, like, well, you have to manage him coming off a second knee surgery. And they looked at me like I was crazy. And so he's good to go. And now all of a sudden you fast forward a couple months later, and there's so many like just little things that they just don't seem like they had the same player. And, you know, for this thing to work, the Bulls have had, for the team they built to work, a couple of different things had to keep happening, whether it be Zach playing to a peak level, continuing to get better in his prime. They needed to sort of hit on their draft picks, and more specifically Patrick Williams, and they've kind of needed some help. And really right now, they're kind of just getting none of those things across the board.
Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live.
It's the best time of the year. Football season is in full swing. Basketball and hockey have returned, and nothing beats seeing your favorite team live. Make up for lost time. Go enjoy a game. Vivid Seats, the official ticketing partner of ESPN, is offering you $10 off your first $100 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Download the app or visit VividSeats.com today. Vivid Seats, life happens live. Before we talk about the broader issues, you'd mentioned Lonzo. Billy gave a Lonzo update, such as it was a couple of days ago. What was that update?
That he's doing more and more is what Billy said. Now, more doesn't include playing basketball. More doesn't include running. More doesn't include jumping. And any of the things you would sort of want your point guard to be doing, that he's going to be playing basketball this season. You know, they still, I think Billy sort of, you know, at the end of it, sort of like, until he starts getting onto the court and doing some of the things that were causing him pain before, sort of hard to know for sure if he's going to be able to play or not. But, you know, we're now coming up on 2 months since the surgery happened at the end of September. And not a whole lot of progress as far as like moving toward getting on a basketball court for him.
Yeah, I mean, let's just be honest. There's no timeline whatsoever.
Nope.
I mean, I'm not, nobody knows. So like, maybe it's, but assuming he's going to be back this season is
it's a big assumption.
Yeah. And you can't say you can't, because yeah, there's no timeline, but I mean, you can't feel good.
But what it kind of says is that there's no sort of saving, you know, I don't know, knight in shining armor coming to save the day or whatever it is for this team. Like, this is kind of what they got. And if it was, you thought you could sort of have it as a holding pattern or just kind of get by and tread water until Lonzo rejoins you at some point, I think that as season, the days tick on, that's just becoming more and more unrealistic. And well, they got to figure out how to make it work.
Just to remind everybody, Lonzo hasn't played since January.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, he's going to be, he is going to have been out over a year. There's probably going to be players who will have come back from ACL injuries. There's a couple of guys expected back from ACL injuries that happened around the time that Lonzo last played, who are going to come back before this year.
I hadn't thought about it like that until you just said that. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, you know, putting it that way is not 100% fair. He had complications coming out of the last surgery. It wasn't because of that injury. The point is, like, this is now as bad in terms of recovery as you would have had from an ACL. And he's not running. Like Ricky Rubio, who I think tore his ACL last January, he's like almost back. Joe Ingles, who tore his ACL, I also think it was about January
or February. Yeah.
He's, you know, they're hoping to have him back in January. He's like running. So, like, guys who tore their ACL are ahead of Lonzo about the same time he went down, you know, first went down with this injury. So, it's disheartening. And the thing about the Bulls is their defense is actually performing not too bad. They're 11th in defense. Yeah. They're 11th in, you know, because what happened last year is once Lonzo went down and then Alex Caruso went down, they had this really good defense and it fell off the cliff when they had their two best perimeter defenders went down. And that was a big reason why their season kind of got derailed. Their defense fell apart. And basically it was like, can DeMar DeRozan carry them enough offensively to overcome their defense? What's happened this year is actually their defense has performed better than expected. In fact, their defense was in the top like five or six until this losing streak, like, you know, 10, 11 games in, they were performing as one of the elite defenses in the league. And it's still, again, top half. It's their offense, Jamal, that is bottom, I think, seven or eight. And I mean, you can't deny that not having a real true point guard out there has to affect it. You know, they have other guys who handle the ball. Certainly DeMar DeRozan is an offensive initiator. He has been a offensive initiator for much of his career, particularly when he was in San Antonio. You know, Io is getting better at that position. But like, when you look at the Bulls, they are way down there in terms of their 3-point output. They're, you know, part of this because, you know, DeMar is not a 3-point shooter, but I think they're like 29th in 3-point attempts. And so it's very hard for them to be highly efficient when they just don't shoot the three. And they also don't have a point guard. So like, what's dragging this team back is offensively, I feel like.
And when you got Zach, DeMar, and Vooch, you put those three together, that's, you don't think offense is going to be your problem. And in the minutes that guys have had to get their net rating and with those three players on the floor is minus 12.4.
Oh my God, that's devastating.
With the three best players, I mean, it just is it. Oh. You know, their bench units with Goran Dragic and Drummond and Zach LaVine has been in part of those units for the most part, but that's what's been keeping this team up, holding them above water, even when they kind of start off the season well. But, you know, to just have that bad of a mark and their offensive rating during that point, it's like you're still devastated off this number.
Oh, my God. We should open a podcast with that number. I didn't know it.
The offensive rating is like 104. Which would still be a bottom five offense, if not one of the worst offenses in the league between those guys. And the thing is that they came into the season thinking about, we got to fix our offense. And DeMar, they were so reliant on DeMar last year, and he was awesome, and he carried them for so long stretches. Another kind of just, you know, fun fact is they were so good in the clutch last year. DeMar, I remember had a few game winners, especially those back-to-back game winners right around the new year. They're 0-7 in clutch situations this year. And, you know, just sometimes it's kind of how the math works. And that is that, like, you all of a sudden not have DeMar be able to bail you out at the end. They came into sort of wanting to diversify their offense around to not sort of, you know, rely so much on DeMar and try to get Vucevic involved. You know, Vuce had one of the worst seasons of his career. Vuce just had a down year, I should say, last year. And like some of these things are better, you know, Vuce is playing better, sort of look like he fits in more. You know, DeMar is still not scoring as many points, but still shooting as one of the best shooting percentages of his career. He still is, you know, went off for 40 points the other night against Orlando. He still has sort of that scoring capability, but it's just kind of baffling to watch them start off every game and just not, that starting lineup has just not been working and not been able to keep them into the game consistently enough. And
Jamal, they're paying the three of them $86 million. Minus 13 per 100. Oh my God. Like,
you just can't win if your three best players are going to be that.
Oh my God. I mean, I knew that they were struggling to start games.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was that bad.
Yeah. And I mean, again, the last game probably didn't help, but it is, that's sort of the fundamental problem here, is that they paired these three guys up, all have made all-star teams, recent all-star teams as well. And, for whatever reason, and the point guard for sure makes a big, it's definitely a big factor in that. But those three guys together on the floor have just not been, giving you the results that you thought.
Good news: their next two games are against the Celtics and Bucks. You know, just because it's the NBA, and because this podcast has a tendency of, like, you know, being dead wrong by the time it publishes, they'll probably win them both. But you know, I talked about this in the preseason. They knew Lonzo was not improving in the offseason. They knew he wasn't going to play. And they did not, in my opinion, adequately address the point guard situation. They signed Goran Dragic.
Who's played well.
He's played fine. He's played a little bit better than he played for Brooklyn last year. He couldn't make – I mean, like, the Maverick – I mean, McMahon was talking about how, like, you know, the Mavericks basically said, we'll sign you, but we won't play you. And that's why he didn't come and sign with Luka. So he's been better than that. I mean, with that as a standard, I mean, he shot, I'm just looking at his numbers. He played, actually, it's interesting. He played 16 games for the Nets last year after he, his exile from, you know, being a Raptor, which he was for about 12 minutes. He played 16 games for the Nets. He's played 16 games for the Bulls. For the Nets, he shot 38% and averaged 7 points. Did average, 5 assists. For the Bulls, he's also played 16 games. He's shooting 44% on three, which is pretty good. They need it badly. And he's averaging 9 points and about 4 assists. So he's not playing bad, but, like, he's not a starter substitute.
Well, the problem is that, like, and I think they should start. I mean, Ayo Dosunmu has been solid and at times it's been a really good draft pick for them, but he's not, I mean, it's noticeably different when Goran comes in, and it's just like a guy who's a veteran sort of controlling the floor and sort of able to set things up. And I know they're kind of worried about, you know, weary of his minutes getting up too high, but
he wears a knee brace that's like from 1994.
It's huge.
I'd be worried about his minutes too.
But they've been getting up to these. I mean, I think Billy, people have been curious of when he's going to start kind of pushing more buttons. And kind of, you know, first of all, they've got 11 guys in there. There's so many things with this team. They got 11 guys in their rotation, which, you know, right off jump is a red flag.
No, of course.
And, you know, Patrick is in this, Bradley Williams has been the starting lineup, and then he kind of doesn't really play a whole lot in the second half. So before Javonte Green played those 18 straight minutes in that Magic game, you know, as they were trying to come back in that one, he didn't even play in the first half. And Javonte has been one of the biggest reasons that.
I mean, Javonte has outplayed Patrick Williams at times.
Yes.
Right. Like, you don't play. Well, that's like, you know, it's like, you know, Kobe White's been gone for like, what did he miss, like 7 or 8 games with an injury? Yeah. And he comes back, he's got to get jammed in there. I mean, they've been, you know, they've been looking to trade him. He's been involved in trade talks for a long time. They haven't found a deal. But, you know, if you, I always talk about this conceit, if you brought a consultant in who didn't care, you know, about offending people or whatever, he would look at this and say, trade Kobe White for a point guard. That's what he'd say.
Yeah.
I mean, they probably tried.
Well, I'd say easier said than done, because I think that their evaluation of Kobe and the league's evaluation of Kobe is obviously very different. But it just seems like that there is a consolidation to be made here on the, again, you've got too many guys that you think you can play. You have a clear hold of this position, and you're right. I've been right with you the whole way. If you knew the Lonzo thing was not improving, to sort of just kind of do not adequately address that position, it's just kind of what's hurting them right now. And you know, there's a lot of little factors, but I think that this team was so good in that first taste that they had in the first half of last year, that it, you know, again, the kind of disheartening thing is just like, man, that might be, you know, if I already think people around here are sort of here getting sick of hearing about being in first place in February, you don't get a trophy for that. You don't get a, you know, they don't throw parades for it. But I think that there was a much more competitive version of this team that existed. And it, you know, just is kind of unfortunate to watch right now where they are. And, you know, again, we're saying all this and they'll.
Yeah, I was. We were concerned about them when we saw some teams around them, like the Hawks and the Cavs, make improvements. The Pacers, I mean, I thought the Pacers were the Laker trade away from a. Well, maybe they wouldn't have been tanking because of how good their guys are playing. But like the Pacers were like the Lakers saying yes to the Westbrook trade away from being full tank, and now they're past them. Yeah. It may not stay that way, but the Pacers are 9-6. The Bulls are 6-10. It's not like it's neck and neck right now. But that was even before I knew that, you know, Zach was going to play like this. And, you know, DeMar's not playing bad. He's just not playing as well as last year. So
where he was a top, 10 MVP candidate or whatever it is on the ballot. Like,
well, without question. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, to be continued on the Bulls. Sure, it's fun to be down there around those teams right now. You have, of course, been making your pilgrimages to Milwaukee. The Bucks they've lost 3 of 4. We had the little event with Giannis in Philly the other night. Now let's talk about the play of the week, the pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom. Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve your off-court problems. Whether it's trouble at home or a workplace dilemma, the coaches will help you find a winning formula for success. And you'll hear from prominent athletes, business leaders, and celebrities who reveal insights that made them into the leaders they are today. Like President Obama, who breaks down his bracket and talks about how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism. Listen to Ways to Win wherever you get your podcasts. Let me just say real quick, I wasn't there, but I talked to a lot of people who were. I don't know what Montrezl Harrell was doing. I think out of all the things that happened, you know, if you don't know what happened there, Giannis has had 2 awful free throw shooting games in a row. He goes 4-15 at the line. 3 different times he missed 2 free throws. He went 0-2 at the line. It was like the Chick-fil-A owners in Greater Philadelphia were like seeing their profit margins explode because if you miss 2, you get free nuggets or whatever. And like it was happening left and right. And so Giannis wanted to shoot after the game, and he was shooting. He was shooting free throws. The ladder was nowhere around. Then Montrezl Harrell came and took the ball and acted like it was like fourth grade or something. And Giannis left the court to go in and get another ball. And the workers were like, okay, he left, so we're going to get up there and start taking down the camera equipment, because it was a national TV game and there's extra camera equipment on the basket standard stuff. And Giannis came back out and whatever. To me, once he left the court, the people thought they didn't know he was coming back. So whatever. I just don't come out to the court after the game. After, when the game's over, the court is being used for other things. Your chant, you know, go somewhere else to shoot. But beyond that, they're 11-3 and they've been racked with injuries. There's a few teams out in the league right now that are just racked with injuries. Philly is missing three of its four best players right now: Tobias Harris, Maxey, and Tyrese Maxey, and James Harden. And they're going to have without Maxey and Harden for weeks. Memphis, they're playing today in Brooklyn, but they're missing their three best players today. And Desmond Bane's going to be out for weeks, and Ja's going to be out for at least a week, if not longer. Cleveland's missing three or four guys, and the Bucks. They've got the 23rd offense in the league, Jamal, but I'm not going to sit here and freak out about it, because no Pat Connaughton, who's a vital three-point shooter for them. Obviously, no Chris Middleton, who is their second-best player, one of their most important offensive players. And Drew Holiday's been in and out of the lineup. Who else am I forgetting that the Bucks have been playing without?
Grayson Allen's been in and out of the lineup. I'm trying to, Wes Matthews kind of had a few games in there. I mean, it's just kind of like, you know, I was curious if we're going to see Marjon Beauchamp, the rookie from G League Ignite 2019, yeah, at all this season. He started like the past four or five.
Yeah, he started the season in the G League, and all of a sudden he was starting in November.
So they have just really been running out. I mean, Giannis has been there, and he even missed a game or two here and there. But, you know, Giannis has been there, Brooke has been there, and then they kind of have just been patching up the rest of the lineup from there so far.
What's the update on Middleton?
So still pretty vague. You know, the Bucks sort of, I think, initially were thinking he was going to be back in sometime in this month, in November. You know, he had the season slow. He did. The latest from Bud on Sunday was that he did practice. He did some stuff at practice, as opposed to Pat Connaughton, who did most things but not everything at practice. So you figure out.
Yeah.
Exactly what is what. But they. You know, I think that they were hopeful. They don't want to rush anybody, you know.
Yeah, why would
as
they?
As far as at this, and they obviously are playing for the big picture. But, you know, I think I'm surprised, you know, I'm surprised that Middleton has not, we haven't seen more progress from Middleton just yet. And I think it seems to be that they want to make sure he is 100% ready to go when he's on the floor.
Yeah, I also believe, I don't want to go too much into it, but I believe Chris had a death in his family that might have set him back a little bit too, that he was away from the team for a little bit. The thing about the Bucks, so the Bucks, we talked about in the pod, they've decided to, they're the number one defense. By the way, they're 11-4, not 11-3. They're the number one defense in the league, and that's a jump from last year. And they've decided to defend the three-pointer more this year. And they're giving up like 9 or 10 fewer attempts per game on three. And that's been a big thing for them. And Brooke Lopez has also been terrific this year in a lot of different ways. You know, they played Cleveland last week and had a good win over Cleveland at home. And I think Lopez hit 7 of his first 8 three-pointers in that game and just eviscerated the Cavs' defensive strategy, which was to basically pack the paint on Giannis. And the ball kept going out to Brooke and they couldn't get out to him. And he was just killing them. They didn't have Jared Allen for that game, but even still. But this is what's interesting about the Bucks. So to the 1,000th percent, they're the 1,000th, you know, whatever, tenths, hundredths, thousandths. They are, as a team, they are shooting 442 for the season, 44.2%. That's 28th in the league. No good. They are allowing 44.3% shooting. So basically, if you're going to go to a Bucks game, you're going to see 44% shooting, 44% from the Bucks and 44% from the competition.
It's a lot of bad offense that I'm watching.
That is second, right? That is second best in the league. So they are. It's almost a perfect counterbalance. They are clanging shots like crazy, and they are forcing opponents to clang shots like crazy. And they have, in my view, the guy who's been the best player in the league so far this year to tip that scale when it matters. Result is 11-4, and probably should be even a little bit better than that since they've, Giannis sat a couple of games for rest. But do you have any concern about this team?
Yeah, it's just been hard to tell this probably last week or two here, just because, again, it's been such a patchwork rotation and lineup. I think they only had, maybe 11 guys even dressed the other night for that Cleveland game. But I've still been impressed with the way that they've been able to win despite that. You mentioned that Cleveland win. It was not only the way that they – Donovan Mitchell went off for, I think, 16 in that first quarter. I think he had about 8 the rest of the game, and they can just switch Javon Carter or –
Javon Carter's been great. Let me call up his numbers.
Really, really good, and he is like – just seems like the most annoying. I say it with the most respect, most annoying player to play against, because he's picking you up full court and he is in your jersey the entire night. So he's been shooting pretty well, especially of late, with kind of a little bit more chances. But like, you got to
imagine Drew Holiday. Can you imagine if the Bulls had Javon Carter?
Be nice.
Like, he is a.
He's from Chicago.
Is that right? I didn't even know that.
Went to high school here, yeah.
Okay. He went to college in West Virginia. I remember that. Yeah. He's such a like bulldog. He's so like, confident and defiant too. He's a real asset to have. And the Bucks, they picked him up last year. Yeah. Last year was his first year. He sort of bounced around the league a little bit, but far and away having his best season. He's had a couple of just dynamite games. It's been really big for them.
So I don't have any huge concerns with them just yet. Other than sort of at times the workload that Brooke Lopez has had to carry. He is coming off of back surgery. I believe he's 35. Yeah. And he just is so key. I mean, you saw it last year when he wasn't in there that their defense just dropped off from, having a sort of pretty consistent first in the league to back down to about average. And, they're asking him to do a whole lot, and he's been doing a lot more on offense, especially lately. And he says he looks great, says he feels great right now. I don't think it's been a huge issue, but maybe just something I'm keeping an eye on, that with the injuries, there's not been, and they don't have a very deep big man rotation in general. Not a whole lot of spots to sort of rest Brooke.
Yeah. Bobby Portis has been good too, right?
Yeah.
He's playing well.
But when you play Bobby, Giannis isn't going to play a whole lot of center the whole season. So
for sure. Giannis plays every position. So there has been some chatter out there about Grayson Allen being available. This is not breaking news. There's been some connection to Jay Crowder. Jay Crowder went to Marquette, is the type of team that he'd probably want to play for at this point in his career, championship contender. The thing about it is, I don't think that and I don't think anything's close. Now that I've said that, it'll be a trade tomorrow. It's what happens. The problem is, I don't think that the Suns want Grayson Allen. That's not a perfect swap for them. So there's been some attempts to bring in a third team. And I always say a three-team trade's a no-team trade. Obviously, they happen. They happen every year. But trust me, a huge percentage of the three-team trades die because it's so very hard to satisfy all three parties. It's one of the most frustrating things that the teams try to do is, you have two teams that have players they want to trade, but it's not a perfect match. We'll find a third team. It sounds... I hear people talk about, and I'm guilty of it too, but I hear people talk about like, oh, well, they're just gonna have to bring in a third team. It's like, oh, okay, that's no big deal. Just bring in the third team. No big deal.
Yeah, happy to help you. Happy to help the Milwaukee Bucks get better.
Right. Yeah. No kidding. Yeah. So I suppose it's possible at some point that they could do something like that, but really more than anything, they just need to get their guys healthy. And it sounds like they're not too far away from that. But
yeah, and that's the thing. Nobody's had an injury that, you know, that has sort of an indefinite timeline that they think is going to keep them out for, you know, really real extended period yet. And when you've got Giannis playing as well as he has, and when he's out there, he still looks like the best player on the floor. I think that they will be able to sort of ride it out through this. And as you mentioned, I mean, they're still, the record's still pretty good. So
yeah, it's still very good. I will say, just because I brought up Jay Crowder didn't have the greatest year last year. I see people, you know, teams in various places saying, oh man, we got to get Jay Crowder. That'd be great. His value isn't sky high. He was okay. He was, you know, he was a starter on a team that had the best record, but he didn't play great in the playoffs and he didn't shoot the ball great overall. So, you know, that's also part of it. You know, Grayson Allen's a really good shooter. The Bucks extended him for a reason. So, they're not just throwing them out there for a team, for a guy they don't think will improve their team. So, all right. Well, thank you, Jamal. We appreciate you stopping by and checking in with us. Thank you for listening to the Hoop Collective podcast. We're going to have our annual Friendsgiving episode coming out on Wednesday for your traveling enjoyment. I'm sure it will be a bleep show like it was last year. Thank you, Jackson, our producer. And we'll talk to you later this week.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.